The views expressed on the following live program do not necessarily reflect those of KSCO Radio, its staff, management, or advertisers. If something is said with which you disagree, please call us during the program in order to help us balance comments.
Good afternoon, Santa Cruz. This is Richard Quigley, your Thursday host for what's come to be known as the United States Freedom Fighter Forum. Ah, another beautiful day in paradise. Well, we only got today and four more days of madness, and then we get to go down and act on it. I'm not really sure what you folks want to talk about or listen about today. I was going to freeform a little bit and see what comes up. I did a station brought me down to do the Saturday special. On Saturday, we did 2 hours straight up talking about the election. And the guests down here, just awesome. Paul, oh no, I knew his last name would fall out of my head. Anyway, the representative from the left was here in the studio. And although he wouldn't commit to a candidate, it was fun to listen to the voice of the left. Laurie Hoff from, she's president of the College Republicans, I think they called it, from UCSC. I still am amazed that they allow Republicans on campus up there. But I thought she did a great job of defending her position. She's, of course, an Arnold fan, as is apparently now the California Republican Party, which those of you who have been following and care about my politics know that I'm a little bit confused now about what kind of what party I'm supposed to be in. Anyway, she did a great job of defending her candidate, Arnold. Oh, and it's I keep telling folks, don't get in a hurry. Things aren't over yet. The in this next 2-3 days. I don't believe that we've heard the last of the smears on Arnold. I think that groping women or whatever that junk was this morning, I hate that kind of politics. I was listening to that come through this morning, and it's like, okay. I mean, if that's the best we can do, then I support Arnold. But and the reason to get off him is not because the man is testosterone-driven or impulse inclined as a young man. He's older, more mature, and what he did 30 years ago is of little interest to me. I'm not going to use it as the basis to make my decision about what we're going to do about the state of this state. And there are a lot of you folks do understand that this is a real important election, and it's going to be interesting to see what the turnout's going to be. There's been nothing but conversation on about it in the media ever since the recall started. It's just, we're completely inundated with it. Even at the national level, they're talking about what's going on in California. And it'll be interesting to see how many people actually show up at the polls and cast a vote on election day. I think that apathy reigns supreme. It has for a long time. It's been my major complaint down here. And if we could just figure out some way to knock people off the apathy, we'd be in a whole lot better shape. Got an early call-in. The call-in lines here are area code, of course, everything's 831, no matter where you live. If you're going to call in here, it's 831-479-1080, 477-1340. And the subject will be your pick today. And we'll just start off early by taking a call from Santa Cruz Mike. He's on a cell phone, wants to talk about Arnold.
Hey, Richard, how's it going?
Well, you know, it's a little early in the show to know for sure, but good to hear from you. What's up?
Hey, sorry I called early, but I'm on the way somewhere else and afraid I'd miss out on the opportunity. Hey, you know, on Arnold and all this women has been filling up, you know what, he might have done that, and you know, that's bad and that's not good. But, like, why is it they only wait to complain about these things when it will destroy somebody? if those women were so offended and the liberals were so offended, why didn't they prosecute him and try to destroy Arnold when it happened?
Well, you know, and I think it, well, of course, it's being done now to impact the election or the outcome of the election in one way or another. That's the only answer I have. I've always had trouble with why questions, but that's my best guess.
Well, you know, what he did was wrong. But again, here, look at this. Again and again, we see people, people attempting to destroy other people on hearsay, and one person says one thing and one person says another, and we have no real evidence. I bet you can find 100 people that would say that in the right circumstances just to have someone against him.
Certainly. I was listening this morning, as much as I don't care for him, I was listening to our No Spin guy earlier this morning, and he was talking about how he wonders about what he might have done at one place or another that might jump up and bite him one day as a misinterpretation of his behavior. And I think that anybody who gets in public office has to consider that and look at that and wonder about that. I think that's a terrible state of the situation as well. You know, I know that there are people that will see that as an important character flaw in a man who is running for governor. I hope that it doesn't translate into anything at the polls, and that doesn't mean that I'm in favor of Arnold winning the election. I certainly hope that he doesn't, because that means McClintock won't. But of all the reasons not to vote for him, some rumor that he groped some woman 30 years ago or some group of women 30 years ago does not enter onto the list of my contemplations.
Well, you know, I agree with it. You know, the truth of the matter is, if anybody's lived a little bit at any time in your life, we've all done something we're a little ashamed of, wish we hadn't have done, and wish we could take back.
I said that a couple of weeks ago about my own self. You know, I mean, there's things that I've done in my past that I don't particularly, you know, I'm not particularly proud of. And that, I don't think that makes me a terrible person by today's standards. And if I'd known then what I know now, you know how that goes.
I got you. Hey, look, I'm getting ready to lose my cell connection, so I'll catch you later. Have a great show.
Thanks for the call, and you're absolutely right on, Mike. Thank you very much for calling in. And the man does make a valid point. I mean, people amaze me. I'm on an email group on the internet that deals with bikers' rights and the like, and we drifted off into this election because, like I pointed out earlier, it's a topic of conversation all over the place. And I was hearing about how it is that women in the state of California will not support Tom McClintock under any circumstances because he is pro-life. And I wrote back and I said, I don't get it. Even if he were anti-abortion, pro-life, what, as governor, what is he going to do? The dominant ruling factors involved in that whole issue have come from a federal level. If the man were running for United States Senate or United States Assembly or House of Representatives or the president, I could see that being an issue. Certainly, if somebody was actually going to nominate him and vote for him to go on a court somewhere, I could see that would become an issue. But I don't see where it should enter into the mix relative to this election in the state. Now, again, as with all my comments, I could be wrong. But my sense is that's a really stupid reason. And then this guy wrote back to me and said, that may be, but that's the way that the women in California think. And so what I did was, just to for the effect of it, went back and said, well, I think you'll agree that that's stupid. So now if we're going to talk about whether or not women are inherently stupid and can't make an intelligent decision, why don't we go down that road and see where that develops? Because it may be that the problem all started back in 1920 when they got the right to vote. We wouldn't be dealing with this. And of course, that was for the point of getting people to start thinking about what they were saying. And it didn't work out that way. You know, and I got yelled at pretty hard by a bunch of women, which to some degree, I guess, started to make the point. And I didn't allude to that. I just changed the subject and dropped offline and got out of the debate. But whether or not somebody is going to be pro-life or pro-abortion as the governor of California is, I think, again, that's right up there with whether or not to grope somebody 30 years ago. It's not going to make a hill of beans worth the difference. The problems that we have in California right now do not have to do with the abortion issue. And wouldn't it be nice if the only thing that we had to worry about were that issue? I mean, We've got schools that can't afford to fund and educate. We've got essential services people in this county. I mean, someday soon we're going to get back to talking about what's needed in Santa Cruz County. I found it interesting that during the debate, the first question that was asked of the panelists on this last debate was, what should California's top priority be right now? And I've always been an act local kind of person. And so the thing that pops in my head is that's a real good question. If you take out California and we put in Santa Cruz County, because we have, as a voter, we have a lot more power in what happens within the county level than we do at the state. I'm not saying not to participate in the state, but I am trying to point out that your vote, your effect, your impact, your ability to make things better at a local level are substantially greater than at the state level. And so what would be on the list of the top priorities, the things that we need to fix? Because we do have an election coming again in March. Now, there's not going to be a big hullabaloo about that because it's not an off-the-wall election. It's going to be a regular election. But what do we have to look at in March? What are we going to be looking at? What are we going to do to make things better in Santa Cruz County, regardless of the outcome of this state recall election? How are we going to dress things up here? What are the number one problem and number two problems facing the issue facing the future of this county? And to some degree, we're going to be voting on that when we go to the polls next week. But not to the extent that I'd like to see. Anyway, Westside Al's calling in to give me a track today, and I don't see any reason not to let him do it. Westside, welcome to KSCO again.
Hey, Richard.
Always good to talk to you.
How is it today?
Well, you know, it looks like it looks like the sun's not going to quite make it out today, but other than that, I'm all right. What's up?
Yeah, it'll be out. It's out over here on the west side just a bit, so it'll be coming over there. Hey, good show on Saturday, very entertaining, and you did a masterful job of dealing with the disparate points of view that the callers and your co-guests presented. So congratulations on that.
Well, thank you very much. It was like a baptism in fire, just like it was for Ms. Hoff. I had not had anything of that substance before with that much attention, and yeah, it was like a Chinese fire drill for me, but we did get through it.
Yeah, you sure did, in flying colors.
Say, thank you.
I have a theory on why the California electorate is not going to give a rat's rear end about Arnold's past dalliances, and that's because our previous President Clinton lowered the bar so damn much on that particular subject that people are beyond being outraged about it, you know?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of that in there. You know, that's not why I went there. I remain outraged by the behavior of Clinton, and of course my problem with Bill is that he didn't just say it's none of your damn business and let it go at that and let everybody fight to make it their business. But
well, there's a quantitative and a qualitative difference, perhaps. I mean, on one hand, at the time these incidents happened with Arnold, he undoubtedly had been exposed to a great number of women who were more than happy to be fondled by someone as famous and physically appealing as they must have found him, and so maybe his mind was not right on that because he was trained by the wrong women, if you know what I mean.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, on the other hand, President Clinton was the president of the United States during some of his shenanigans, not all. Sometimes he was merely a governor.
Yeah.
But he also did this stuff on the job with people that were supposed to be working for him, and so the level of outrage on that one certainly remains with me. But I don't think Arnold's behavior compares to that at all.
Well, but if we go back and we start looking at what some of the other presidents had done, and you know, we go all the way back to George Washington. You know, when you have the kind of, as you know, I mean, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. But when you have the kind of celebrity or power that goes with being an elected official of that magnitude, there are a lot of things that are made available to you, as Kobe Bryant will tell you, that would never have been available to the average person under normal circumstances.
Oh, sure.
And yeah, we do want to see people handle themselves in the best of ways. But one of the things that did come out of the Bill Clinton thing was that we had a chance to review some of the conduct of some of our former presidents and to minimize the impact. And I think it had the effect with the public at large. I also think that we are a lot less sensitive to these issues than we were 30 years ago, even 20 years ago.
And you know what? If everybody gets scared away from running for office, because as your previous caller pointed out, and you, we all have something in our past that wouldn't look good in the newspaper. So if you're going to throw everybody out of the candidacy, then what do you got left? Choir boys? I mean, Lord, this is going to get to be a very strange circus, although it already is.
Well, yeah, and that's exactly what was going to be my next point. I was going to jump on that. You know, I don't want somebody that's not human. I don't want anybody that's not human, and it is human to err. You know, we're going to make mistakes.
Well, you learn through your mistakes, and sometimes people that make mistakes come away a lot smarter about life in general than those that live a cloistered life. Hey, one last point before I go. You said something about local issues. I just read in the paper this morning something that got my interest. Supervisor Jeff Almquist apparently donated, I think I read, $1,500 to the anti-Davis recall effort 3 days before he met with the State Judiciary Committee, who will then decide whether to recommend he be appointed by Davis as a judge.
Yeah, ain't that something?
And he says there's no connection. That's pretty hard for me to swallow. And, you know, my surprise is that he thought this wouldn't come out. What with all the digging and everything everybody's doing into Gray's pay and play scenario.
Well, about the only way that he can legitimately say that it wasn't an attempt to try to buy the office is that $1,500 is such a paltry bribe for that kind of a post.
Well, maybe it was just a down payment. You know, I'll give you this now and later after the deal's done.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? And unfortunately, you know, after the appointment by Wilson of Danner, I just threw up my hands. Come on, where did that come from? Pete Wilson is an alleged Republican. I don't consider him such. But then I'm not sure that I'm the one to judge anymore with the Republican Party coming out behind your guy. I'm a little confused. But for him to appoint a hardcore liberal Democrat district attorney, you know, to the bench is especially one with the history of Danner. I just looked at that, and it left me shaking my head.
It does make you question the process, doesn't it?
Exactly. And I don't know how many people are aware of how this stuff works, but, you know, there's been one judge that left the bench, and I believe it was Donald May, but I could be incorrect about that. But in Santa Cruz County, there's only been one judge that I remember that left the bench any other time except the window of opportunity for the governor to appoint a replacement. And other than that, these guys schedule their retirements and their announced retirements so that their replacement is appointed by the governor. And Donald May saw that as a corrupt way to go. Now, he and I didn't see eye to eye on some other stuff because I did have some dealings with him in court. But that was one thing I always respected about him is that, by God, when he left with everything intact for the people of this county to have an opportunity to elect their own judge clean. Not without an incumbent, you know?
Right, right. That's a real crooked system where they give them an appointment, and then when the election time does come up, they get to run as an incumbent, which is a tremendous advantage.
And I would be derelict in my duty if I didn't, since I know that you are an Arnold fan, if I didn't point out that one of the things that I'm most concerned about with who our next governor is, even beyond all the problems with the finances and the like, is who's going to be making these judicial appointments. And I got to tell you that the appointment of Danner to the bench was such a horrific act in my mind by Pete Wilson that anybody influenced by him in a position to make judicial appointments, just that it causes me pause. You understand what I'm saying?
So tell me what your concern about Arnold is on that level.
Well, if in fact he's going to be counting on people that are experienced in government to give him counsel as to what to do in any given situation, my concern is that when it comes to judicial appointments, he will turn to Wilson or the same people that decided that Danner was the right appointment choice.
Oh, I understand. Yeah, I got you there. Boy, I hope he cuts loose of Wilson right after he gets in office.
I'm real glad to hear you say that.
Yeah, I was really shocked that Wilson ended up in the hierarchy as he did. Not a good move on Arnold's part. But, hey, by the way, as I close here, Arnold was man enough to come out real fast and make a public apology, admit that he'd done wrong, admit that there were things in his past that he was embarrassed by that he had taken at the time, thought were just playfulness, but he now realizes that some people were very offended, and he apologized, said he was sorry, and that sometimes is the best way to go.
Yes, sir, I concur with you 100% on that. He is man enough to admit that he made a mistake and not likely to repeat it, and I was very pleased with that response as well.
Good. Well, you see, Richard, we probably have more to agree about than we do disagree, except for this McClintock-Arnold thing.
We always have, Alan. The only difference is going to be what we do on Tuesday, and the rest of the time, I think we're pretty solid.
Well, I already voted absentee. I'm glad they had the election. Otherwise, I was feeling kind of, you know, like I did something that was a waste of time.
Yeah, I got it. All right, Richard. Well, I'll let you go. Thanks a lot for calling in.
All right, bye.
I can always count on Al to save me when I'm having a slow day. Yeah, and he's right. You know, I mean, come on. There are so many people unwilling to admit their mistakes, never mind apologize for them, that it is refreshing to see that. And trust me, with it looking so much like the likelihood that Arnold may be our next governor, in spite of my wishes that it were someone else, I'm very, very pleased that we're seeing these positive indicators on the guy. So we get a good deal out of it. Tom from Santa Cruz wants to talk about apathy.
Yeah, well, how you doing? I enjoy your show.
Thank you very much.
I think when you look at why people are apathetic, it's because their vote doesn't count for too much. Most of our tax dollars are sent to the feds, and what are we getting for it? Far as I'm concerned, boondoggle invasions and so forth, and we just don't have too much control of where the money's going. And even locally here, I was really surprised during the last go around with taxes and so forth to find out that 80% of our taxes on the property goes up to the state. So there again, people don't have much control over where the dollar's going. The further away you send it, the less control you have.
There's a lot of that. There's a lot of that voter, for lack of a better term, that perceived impotence that voters have. That I think that there's a couple elements that they're missing, and I'll give these to you from personal experience. As a lot of people know, I ran as a write-in candidate for sheriff in 1984, and the reason I did it as a write-in was because getting those signatures just required more time than I had. But I had a chance to make a few debates and everything. And when the election was over, I had a chance to go back and look at the number of ballots where somebody had actually taken the time, spelled correctly or wrong, to write my name in on an election ballot for the job of sheriff of this county. And that has served ever since as a motivation to me to stay involved in trying to make things better for the community and the people in the community. And so translate that over to election is one of the things that I pointed out about the people that would prefer to vote for McClintock, for example, but are going to vote for Arnold because they want to vote for the winner and they don't want to take the chance that all this Bustamante stuff will happen and so on. The people that are actually going to vote for McClintock, regardless of whether or not he wins, will reflect a support for that man and for what he does that will encourage him, I believe, to stay involved and actively involved in California politics. And since I think it's a good idea for people like him to be involved and stay involved, I'm not voting for him because I think he's going to win. I'm voting for him because I want, when they count the votes, for him to understand that there's at least one other person, you know, one more to the number. So that it's not always whether or not you end up voting for the winner that makes the difference. It's whether or not you have supported the winner with your vote, or, supported the loser with your vote and encouraged them to keep on moving forward. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're talking about apathy in terms of whether you win or not. It's not that there's things beyond whether you win or not.
Absolutely. Absolutely. As we're going to see, one of the things that I've been talking to my friends about is going to be the aftermath of these propositions being on that ballot. You watch how important your vote is going to be on those propositions. And I really do. I really, really, really encourage everybody. I don't care if it ends up being a landslide against the recall. I encourage everybody that can vote to vote. And if you've malingered around to where you aren't registered and can't, get set up to go the next time. We're going to do this all again in March, and it's going to be some big issues on the thing there. But never, never surrender your voice without somebody taking it from you, and then only after the fight. You know what I mean?
Sounds great. I'm not arguing for apathy, but I can understand the reasons for it, and I was kind of going down the list of why I think voters are apathetic.
Yeah,
and
I think you're right. You know, I believe you're right. There's a lot of justification for it, and what we've got to do, folks like us that recognize it, is try to figure out some way to encourage folks to climb over their apathy, because we need their help.
I think one of the biggest things that need to happen in this country if we want to have some real voting that means anything is, I think the federal government has gone stepped way, way out of its constitutional limits, and stepping into county affairs, into individual affairs. What happened up in Davenport was a travesty of the Constitution.
Yep.
I'm a local business person here. I had the federal government right in my business.
Yep.
And I'm not engaged in interstate commerce, but they're right there in my face.
Yes, sir. And I've got to do some commercials right back, and I'm gonna come back. I'm gonna talk a little bit about how these guys end up getting in that position and why it is that they bypass the voters and how they bypass them. Anything else, Tom?
Well, I just really appreciate what you're doing, and carry on.
Okay, thank you very much, Tom.
You bet.
Enjoyed hearing from you. Okay, we survived another. First half of the show, we're going to run some commercials. Be back in just a minute. Talk to you about some other stuff.
The San Lorenzo Valley is known far and wide for tall trees, winning football teams, and the family-owned and operated Ben Lomond Supermarket. Located in the heart of the valley, Ben Lomond Super has proudly served the Central Coast community for over 57 years. So take a break from the world of big concrete boxes and drive up to the valley for some tall trees, winning football teams, and the Ben Lomond Super. And hey, be sure and bring an appetite, because Ben Lomond Super has one of the best delis you'll find anywhere.
You, if you're like me, probably make a lot of lists. And trying to keep a balance between family and work is at the top of that list. Well, here's an idea on how to achieve balance in your life. Attend the first annual Women's Expo on Wednesday, October 8th from 3 to 7 p.m. at the Coconut Grove at the Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk. Over 55 exhibitors will be there to offer ideas on how to manage your finances, relax, get organized, network, and much more. There'll also be self-defense and fitness demonstrations, as well as an Only in Santa Cruz fashion show. Featured speakers will be the authors of the popular new book, Beyond Superwoman, 25 Top CEOs, Show Us How to Get a Life. Achieve balance by attending the 2003 Women's Expo Wednesday, October 8th at the Coconut Grove Beach Boardwalk in Santa Cruz, with free parking across the street, and enter to win a weekend escape for two at the Claremont Resort and Spa. It's the 2003 Women's Expo, October 8th from 3 to 7 p.m., brought to you by the Santa Cruz Sentinel and co-sponsored by Coast Commercial Bank, Marina Motor Company, and the Santa Cruz Chamber of Commerce.
Hi folks, Jerry Logan, owner of Discount Floors in Santa Cruz. We have free installation and free cleaning for the life of your carpet. That's right, don't pay for insulation. We'll do it for free when you buy from me. We have Mohawk, Stainmaster, Royal, Shaw, all top names starting at $1.49 installed. We have hardwoods and laminates, all top brands starting at $1.79. Linoleum, tile. We have it all. Call us at 423-0191. 423-0191. Next to Costco. See store for details.
Okay, let's do a little follow-up on that voter apathy thing and some of the reasons for it. You know, I think that it does bother us when we vote for something that we have a court come in and they'll change what it is, the outcome of that was, and or we have some politician comes in and they change the effect of what we want them to do. And we've had plenty of propositions on the ballot where that has happened, where we the people decide we're going one way, and then the people that we've elected or appointed or whatever, they decide to go another. And those kind of things can be very frustrating. And so would it keep somebody from going to the polls, casting a vote? What good is it? Because even if I decide to do this, the government will come in and break it anyway. Well, of course. And so in line with that, I'm going to back up for just a minute and talk about something that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, a couple of times. And for those of you that weren't here for it, that didn't hear it, it's going to be a little bit, I'll try to give you the shorthand version. But originally, remember when the Ninth called off this recall election? I pointed out to everybody that the reason for that, the primary reason that they gave in this 66-page opinion, was that the Secretary of State violated state election code by putting those propositions on the ballot. However, the following week, when the 11-judge panel was heard, they had a discussion about that whole thing in which that came up, and the attorney from the Attorney General's office, I believe his name was Woods, pointed out that the Supreme Court of the state of California had ruled that because of the ruling of a commission, that the Secretary of State was in fact obliged by the California Constitution to violate state election code and put those initiatives on the ballot less than 100 days before the election, which is about what the election code requirement was. So I've been researching that whole thing because I was real curious about it. I was doing it mostly in defense of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. I happen to think highly of them. I do believe that nothing changed except that the 11-judge panel got to consider things that the 3-judge panel didn't. But going back to the exact reasons why those things changed, it was based on this California Supreme Court decision in which they talked about how this commission had changed the... it amended the requirements that this the election code have a 100-day lead time. And so I went up the internet and I looked at this and I found this discussion of this commission in the Supreme Court. Now, it wasn't a written opinion, it was a stated opinion as to why they were not going to have those two propositions removed from the ballot. It was a court case that was put in front of them way back in August. Anyway, in reading that opinion, they talked about this commission had amended the Constitution such that it was required that the Secretary of State put them on that ballot, which, like I said, was a violation of the state election law. So I called the court, and I had to call around a little while, and I finally got a hold of somebody up there that would talk to me. And they explained to me that this commission, because I want to know what commission. You know, if there's a body that altered the state constitution such that it causes the Secretary of State to violate state election law, how does that work? And who is this commission? Well, here's the new one, folks, and I guarantee you haven't heard of it. It's called the California Constitution Revision Commission. Now, I can't even say it without the hair standing up on the back of my neck. A Constitution Revision Commission. If you want to modify the Constitution in the state of California, you do it by proposition. And the voters vote on it. And there's no other way that I know of constitutionally for this to happen. So I started looking, and I'm still doing research, and I can't fill you in on the details. I'm going to find out more. The things that I have found out so far about the Constitution Revision Commission, California Constitution Revision Commission, is that it's made up of 23 people. And the best that I can get on who these people were and where they came from is that 10 of them were appointed to that commission by the legislature, and then 5 by the governor, and then 5 by the judiciary, and then I guess the other 3, since we got to get to 23, just wandered in off the street drunk and they sat them in the chair and away they went. And it was their job, apparently, to amend the state constitution. Now, the reasons given for their formation, this all happened in 1992-93. And this was a time when we were having another financial crisis in California. It was the early days of Pete Wilson. And we were going through this huge financial mess. And their job was supposed to be to help clean that up. And the reports that I get are that absolutely none of the things that they put in place worked. But nonetheless, they had disbanded, I guess, somewhere around 1996. What I'm trying to find out is who these people are, where they derived their power. Was it something that was given to them by the governor? Was it something that was given to them by the legislature? Did they just assume it? Where did the power come from for them to amend the Constitution without the proposition that everybody else is required to get? And when I get those answers, we're going to talk about them. Now, one of the things that I predict is that following the election, there's going to be a hullabaloo on the losers from the losers' side on those propositions 53 and 54. And in that is going to be a challenging of the Secretary of State for putting them on that ballot because of the lack of lead time, because of the lack of time for the, well, mainly for the proponents to raise the funds to do the promotion that they needed to do. If you remember, Bustamante was doing a whole big thing on Prop 54 before they told him he had to return all that Indian gaming funding, and those commercials stopped immediately. But we haven't heard anything at all by way of promotion on either one of those two propositions. But that was because everybody was expecting them to happen in March. So after the election, we're going to have a whole bunch of noise being made over that. Whichever side loses, I virtually guarantee we're going to have a bunch of court action on it. And in that court action, they're going to talk about, for the first time, I think, they're finally going to get around to talking about this California Constitution Revision Commission. And which, like I say, you heard about first here. And at that time, we'll have the inside track on it. So we'll be able to pretty much filter down that conversation and let you guys know what the real deal is on it as it develops. Jim calls in from Santa Cruz, wants to talk about voter apathy. What do you got to get them off their
feet? Well, good afternoon, Richard. I'm in a mess here. I'm sitting with one of those absentee ballots. I didn't think I was going to be in town on election day, but it turns out I am. But anyway, I have an absentee ballot, and I've thought about filling it out so many times. And I agree with you. I think when you said on the early part of your show that you expected that there would be more of this nonsense before Tuesday. This is typical Davis politics.
I believe that's where it's going to come from, and I think it's going to be a major, there's something that they haven't told us that they're going to tell us between now and next Tuesday that they are going to hope will dissuade everybody that they are so far just allowing to get behind Arnold.
I wouldn't be one bit surprised if you're true. In fact, I would be surprised if you're not. I mean, if you're not right, I expect that. I just on my way home from lunch here and picked up my mail, and I have a four. My mail was a four-page color brochure from Mr. Bustamante. I'm a registered Democrat, but consider myself to be independent. But anyway, four-page color. Thing from Bustamante, and not word one about him supporting Davis and vote no on the recall. Wonder what happened to that along the line.
Well, he's tiptoeing through a minefield there because Bustamante snake bit not only by his politics, but he's snake bit by where he sits.
He got scalped, I'm afraid, by a few Indians along the way.
Yeah, well, he's going to, the aftermath of this election, if the recall doesn't happen and Gray Davis remains the governor, he remains lieutenant governor, that is going to be real cold in Sacramento, and it's not a matter of air temperature.
Yeah.
If he does happen to get elected, I don't see that. My personal prediction does not include that there will be a recall and Bustamante will be the new governor. I don't see that happening at all.
I surely hope that you're right. You know, I see the same thing, whether it's, you know, from Washington on down, this thing about the spy and all that, is what the press isn't telling you, that this woman's husband is actively working on the Kerry campaign and has donated money to Kerry. And that he's not just, him and her, not just innocent bystanders in this. They've got an agenda also.
Oh, no, politics is dirty. Politics is dirty. Politics is so dirty. In this country, it's as dirty as probably anywhere, as ever been anywhere in the world. You never know. And I got to tell you that my confusion over the media's involvement is mostly based on the fact that I have a real hard time with conspiracies from such as the media to make certain things happen. But at the same time, I'm overwhelmed with the response of Californians to Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I attribute most of that to what the media have said about him in support of him. I believe that they've been beating that. He's the electable Republican drum and he's the next guy and he's, you know, and so I try to figure out what does the media have to gain and why would the media take that on and why wouldn't they be, you know, in the middle talking about the facts as they come by? And I can't answer those questions, but I do ask them.
Well, I know you do, Richard. You've given me a lot to think about as I sit here on the fence, and I guess I got to fill this thing out at some point. But
well, I would if it were me and I were looking at an absentee ballot, I believe what I'd do is I'd just hold off until Tuesday and let everything settle.
Let everything come out and then carry it on down to a poll.
I think it's going to be the best time to vote in this election, I think, now is going to be on Tuesday.
I think you're probably right.
And so I'm hoping that as many people as haven't already cast their absentee ballots will hold off. I certainly haven't cast mine. I'm not that confident in the outcome. And who knows? Maybe they'll find something that's legit, you know?
Yeah, I'm going to take your advice on that. I think that's a good idea.
Okay, well, listen, thanks a lot for calling in.
Thanks,
Jim.
Richard.
Good talking with you. Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do, but I don't see him. I don't see this thing coming to fruition on Tuesday without at least one more shot across the bow. Ken asked if Bustamante is elected governor, who becomes lieutenant governor. I'm not sure how that works, so I won't even postulate. You know, I could guess for you, but to tell you the truth, it is so unlikely to me that Bustamante is going to be elected governor that it just never occurred to me to look to figure out who would be the new lieutenant governor. But it's all in the Constitution. If you, Ken, if you read the California Constitution, I'll bet you that you'll find it in there somewhere. And so I'm not the right guy to ask. I wish I had the answer. By next week, maybe I can. Next week, when I come in, of course, we will be, it's the day after the day after. Everybody has made their decision. And hopefully we will be able to spend a little time on that day talking about how all that worked out. And we'll all make our predictions of doom or glory, depending on the outcome of the election next week. And then we can get back to what I really consider the most important issue in front of us today, and that is what are we going to do to save this county. It is so critical that we do something as a community here to save this county from the fate that appears to be in front of it. Of course, it's not fate if it can be fixed, but or corrected. But the fact is that the direction this county is going right now, For everything that we've got, we're not showing any benefit from everything that we've got. What we're doing is showing a potential for an incredibly dismal future. And it frustrates me no end when I look at the young people of this county moving away, when I look at the quality of folks that are leaving to go to work elsewhere because they can't afford to live here, when I look at the lack of planning getting together to move forward and let's do something to fix the problems here by our board of supervisors. When I look at the damage that's been caused by the fact of a planning department, never mind its size, all these local issues that are not being addressed and not being attended by the people of this county or their representatives just frustrates me to no end. And we are going to bang them around after this election. I'm going to get back to them and we're going to be talking about them. In the meantime, this is Richard Quigley, KSCO Radio, Santa Cruz, AM 1080. I'll see you guys next week. Thank you, Michael.